So my father-in-law, actually, so Wendy's dad, he grew up in a kind of a broken home in the sense that he didn't experience divorce, but there was divorce within his family because his mom had divorced before he was born and then came into a different marriage. So his life was kind of mixed up with some divorce and remarriage. He had gotten into he lived up in upstate New York in a small town up there. He had gotten into drugs and alcohol. He started getting in trouble with the law because he was really big into cars, so he used to drag race a lot. He had gotten a bunch of DUIs, had his license taken away. And spiritually, he really was just kind of thought the whole God thing was kind of a hoax. Like, he had kind of grown up around religion, but really was kind of like, thought Christians and anyone of religion, but especially Christians, were just a bunch of hypocrites. So after getting in trouble with the law, his dad was also an alcoholic. He had a terrible relationship with his father. He decided the best thing for him, because he couldn't really, figure out exactly what life was all about, and I think he kind of wanted to get away from where he was. He decided to go into the Navy. He gets into the Navy, and he's assigned to an aircraft carrier. And on this aircraft carrier, he is, when you know you're going on an aircraft carrier and you're going out to sea, like, you know you're going to be there for a while. So the people that you get roomed with are the people that you're really going to get to know well. So he gets assigned into this room and realizes he is in a room with three Christians. And so these guys start having a Bible study in the room. And he's just kind of like, oh, I'm really going to show these guys what I'm all about, right? So what he would do, he would every time he knew they were going to have a Bible study, and there would probably be some other guys from the aircraft carrier coming into the room, he would grab a six-pack of beer, and he would sit up on the top bunk, and he would just start drinking while they were having it, and he would just be saying stuff to them the whole time. He would just be probably not like super mean, but I mean, he knew what he was doing. He knew he was just kind of trying to egg them on and get them going. But each week, they continued to have this Bible study, and they never kicked him out. I think, and after a while, he began to realize, you know, there's something like different about these guys. Like, they're not really what I thought about Christians. Why don't they like tell me to get out? Why don't they tell me that? Why don't they judge me? You know, or why don't they tell me that what I'm doing is wrong? And so he realized they're not hypocrites. They didn't kick him to the curb, you know, but they stood up for what they believed, and since they didn't stop, but they loved him through it. And, you know, I think at first glance, when I think about it, if I was in these guys' position, I think I would be like frustrated. I'd be like, man, I kind of want to like kick these guys out of here. You know, I kind of want to like, I want to kick my father-in-law out. I want to have my own Bible study. I want to do what I want to do. But they didn't do that. Instead, they saw it as a divine appointment by God that he would be in their room. And they loved him. And they saw that God had sovereignly led them to do what they were doing. So by the way, it was through these guys that my father-in-law became a believer. Over time, he started talking to him, having more relationship with him. They would answer his questions. They wouldn't immediately put him down. Oh, you're stupid. You don't know these things. Oh, look what you do. Look where your life is. And it was through that he came to have a relationship with the Lord. And I can tell you that my father-in-law is one of the most solid Christian guys that I know. I truly mean that. He knows the word and he lives it out in his life. And he is solid in God's word. And I think it's interesting to think about that my father-in-law became a follower of Christ. And I think it's because of his relationship with Christ that Wendy knows the Lord and was brought up in a Christian home. And then I think it's just interesting to see how all things play out in the different lives that Wendy's impacted and the lives that she impacts you guys. And it all started from that divine moment that my father-in-law was placed into this room with these guys and that he would come to know the Lord. So God has divine moments in which he wants to use each of us. And when we as followers of Christ obey him, he uses these divine moments to change the course of history and people's lives. And that's what God's into. God is into divine moments. In the book of Acts, we actually find a similar story to this. And it's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Some of you may know what a eunuch is. I'm not going to go into that here. You can ask your parents when you get home. That should be an interesting conversation. But it's cool because we can take a lot from this story and see how God used divine moments in Philip's life to bring him to the Lord. So if you want to open up to Acts chapter 8 in your Bible, if you got your Bible, if you don't, that's okay. I'll also have it up on the screen. But go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 8 so you can follow along with me. This is the last part in this, I'm sorry, I got something in my eye. All right. Make sure that's out. I'm really not crying. Don't want you to think I'm doing that. All right. So we're in this series in the book of Acts called How God Works. And I'll give you a little bit of background on this. We pick up in the chapter 8 in the book of Acts. This is after Jesus has died. So Jesus has died. He's rose again. He's gone back to heaven. But before he goes back to heaven, he sends the apostles out. The 12 guys hung out with him and some more plus them. And he says, look, now it's your time. Like, I'm going to be with you through my spirit. You go out. You start reaching the world. You tell them about my story. Tell them it's time to repent. It's time to have a relationship with me. I want that. So they start going out. Philip is one of the original apostles who hung out with Jesus for 3 years. The apostles they were in Jerusalem. This was kind of the center of the Jewish faith and sort of the center of Christianity at this point. And so they had all fled Jerusalem because there was this guy named Stephen. And Stephen kind of stood up to the Jewish leaders in a lot of ways. And he ends up being the first kind of recorded Christian martyr in the Bible. They end up stoning him for his beliefs. So at this point, a lot of the Christians scattered throughout Jerusalem, right? And because of persecution. And we could be like, oh, well, that stinks. Like, we don't want to be persecuted. We don't want anything hard to happen to us. But you know what happened? Because they were scattered, what ends up happening is they go to all these different places around Jerusalem and they start sharing the gospel. It basically says in chapter 8, verse 4, it says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was a great joy in that city. So Philip goes from Jerusalem. He goes up to Samaria. I think I have a map up there, don't I? Go to the next slide. There we go. So if you look at, he goes from Jerusalem, see where the Red Cross is. He goes up to Samaria, and up there, does anyone know about the Samaritans? Does anybody know, like, kind of who they are and what they're about? I know that you know, Justine, you're smart. Anybody else have, what about Samaritans? Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that happened, though, is a bunch of Jewish people ended up interrelating with the Samaritans. So if you were a purebred Jewish person, you hated Samaritans because you said, oh, they're a bunch of half-breeds. They're not really Jewish. They're half-breeds. So it's cool to see that the gospel goes to any people anywhere, and that's what God is showing through this. Philip goes up to Samaria, preaches the gospel there. We read about how lives are being changed. The gospel's going beginning to go to all the ends of the earth. So here's what we're going to do, something we don't usually do. We're actually going to stand up. This means actually get out of your chair and stand up. I don't know, so I wasn't sure if I was clear. Like, that means like stand up. All right, here's what we're going to do. You don't have to actually read it. You don't actually have to read it yourself, but I want you to stand up and get the story with me. We're going to read through Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Okay, so go ahead to the slide. I'm going to read it. You just read along on the screen. This is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told him, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said to him, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came up to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me of my being baptized? That's a clear one. If you want to be baptized, here you go. It's a great reason. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. You can sit down, and I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you show us divine moments and that your Spirit speaks to us, God, and we follow you and obey you, and literally the course of history has changed. And God, you desire that for each of us. In our own little way, God, that you want to work in our lives. So I thank you for this story and for Philip and his obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for standing up. I hope that wasn't too hard. There's a lot of kind of cool stuff to take from this. And so here's what I'm going to do. There's note sheets on your table, and the way I've broken out, there's really no fill in the blanks. I'm just going to walk through this story. I'm going to give you some insights that I studied through it that I hope that you can apply to your life. So when you see like an insight that I talk about, or you see an insight from the word, you can write it down so that you remember it. So, it's something cool about the book of Acts and this story of Philip. And it's this: God is divinely moving among his people. God is always moving among Christians and at the world and in the world, and always has a plan for all people to know about him. That's God's desire. For everyone to hear about who he is and the relationship that he has in his son, Jesus Christ. So, it's kind of cool. And in chapter 8, as we just read, we learned about the conversion, the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. And that was actually a son of Noah's, a son of Ham, so the people from Ethiopia. Now in chapter 9, we're not going to read it, but you would hear about the conversion of Saul, or who we know as Paul. And that was a son of Shem, also one of Noah's sons. And in chapter 10, we learn about the conversion of the salvation of Cornelius, the Roman centurion, a son of Japheth. So all three of Noah's sons, if you remember Noah, you go back to the Old Testament and the Ark, and his three sons come out, and that's how the rest of the world is populated. So it's pretty cool to see in Acts that God has a way, he has a plan to have his gospel go to all people in the world. Those people probably didn't realize exactly what they were being a part of. And in the same way, when God uses us, we might not know exactly what God's doing, but he's using us in his grand story. So I thought that was kind of a cool fact. But God chooses to use us in his grand story to follow him with what I like to call divine moments. Sometimes even weird things, like go up to a chariot and stand near it. If God told you to do that, would you do it? One, you'd be like, I don't see chariots around here. But here's a simple plan of how God wants to use us in divine moments. So let me show you this simple plan. It goes like this. And we kind of learned this from Philip's story. God speaks to us and we listen. Okay? That's how it first works. God speaks to us. His Holy Spirit prompts us. And we listen. We're like, okay, God, I think I heard that. I hear what you're saying. I hear your truth through your word. He moves us to do something. God speaks and we listen. The second part is this. God talks to people. So God speaks to us, we listen. Then you got the Ethiopian. God speaks to is kind of speaking to the Ethiopian. He talks to him through the scriptures. This man is reading through the book of Isaiah. He's speaking to him. So God speaks to us, we listen. God speaks to people. And then the last part is we obey and we talk to people that he talked to. So then we obey. We heard what God says. God's talking to someone else. We go, okay, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to go talk to that person, even though I may not know who they are, even though they're my friend, and they're going to think I'm pretty weird that I want to talk about this Christian faith thing. But God, we don't, unbeknownst to us, God has already talked to them, and God is preparing a way for them. I'm rocking out back there. I like that. Do we know who that is? I can't. Thank you. That's hard for me to concentrate. And then lastly, what happens is loud rock music. No. The last thing that happens is a happy emoji. No. What happens is God works. Ultimately, God works, and he changes the world through people coming to know Christ. You think about people like William Wilberforce, who was the guy that literally changed slavery in England. He was a believer, and he believed God had spoke to him to do that, and so that's what he did. So God changed people. It's a really simple formula. It's simple, but it's profound. And so here's how this worked in Philip's life. You look at verse 26, Acts 8:26. An angel of the Lord appears to Philip. First thing, that's a big deal, the fact that an angel appeared to him. And I'm thinking, if an angel appeared to you or an angel appeared to me, I'd probably be like, I'm going to listen to this guy. This seems pretty important. So he does that. He listens to him, and he tells him this direction to go. He just tells him, look, I want you to head south to the road that leads to Gaza. That's kind of general. Like, he's just like, go south. What does Philip do? Philip's like, okay, I can do it. I'll go south. So he starts heading south. Most likely, and on the way there, he sees this Ethiopian. And so the writer gives us a little bit of information, but most likely the Ethiopian was traveling this road to Gaza, probably because he wanted to be alone to study the scriptures. That's what I read some people saying. So this guy probably was traveling because he wanted to be alone. He wanted to read the scriptures. He was actually just coming back from worshiping in Jerusalem because he was a converted Jew. So he wasn't born a Jew, but he had converted to Judaism. So what's really weird about this, though, that you won't understand unless you studied a little bit more, and I'm going to tell you about it, is this. Philip leaves Samaria where God is working. God is working really strongly in Samaria. He's doing some really cool things. People are responding to the gospel. And God says, now, leave this place where I'm working and go south to the desert. That's where he was going. We don't usually find people in the desert, right? Overall, we find camels there. That's all we find, right? So he says, go south where no one's there, to leave what God is doing and where God is working. But Philip says, okay, Lord, if you spoke to me, I can't say I fully understand it, but I'll do it. And I'll go. So this kind of reminds me a story that we had in Austin, Texas to lead the cause this year. And the first day that we went out with like groups of other people from Lead the Cause. And I went to the state capitol, and there's a bunch of people walking around the state capitol. Got to have a lot of good conversations. And then on, I think it was Thursday, they said, okay, you're going to actually go out with your church. And you're going to go out and do some street witnessing with your church. And so the place that we were originally supposed to go, they ended up having some issues around that area with some different people that were being aggressive. So like, hey, really sorry, we can't send you that place, but we got this other place that we want to send you to. So we get sent like within walking distance of the campus we were staying at. And so we start walking downtown to this downtown area we were supposed to go, and we start realizing like, there's like nobody here. Like literally, who are we going to talk to today? I mean, I'm starting to think like, okay, do I need to come up with a different plan? And then just the Lord says to me, he says, there might not be a lot of people here, but you know what that means? I got some specific people for you to talk to. And it was really cool because that was the day that some people from our group got to lead a woman to the Lord that worked at CVS. We got to have a bunch of great conversations that day that were really deep spiritually. And I thought it was just cool that God's economy doesn't always work like ours does. You know, we think, and it makes sense, we're trying to be wise. Let's go to a place where a bunch of people are. You know, Philip's up in Samaria, he's working, God's moving. That's where God sent him. And then God says, go down to the desert. Okay, Lord, I don't get it, but I know it was you, and you told me to do that. And the same way God led us to that place in Austin, he said, I have a specific plan. You can trust me when I lead you to go. So Philip goes, and then we pick up in verses 27 through 29. The author, Luke, the author of Acts, kind of tells us a little bit of the details. But he says he meets this Ethiopian, and then he goes on to him. He says, as Philip is going along, following where it tells him, where God tells him to go, we then learn that God gives him more detailed instructions through the Holy Spirit, which again, Philip is faced again with a decision. Okay, do I follow this or what do I do? Because here's the instructions that he gives him. He says, so he started out and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near to it. I mean, that's, I don't know about you, but once again, that's kind of an interesting thing that this time the Holy Spirit prompts him to do this. Just go near to that chariot. And I think the reason that the Holy Spirit prompted him to go near to that spirit, to that chariot was because the Ethiopian was reading from the book of Isaiah. And at this point in time, he's reading out loud. And at this point in time in history, like not everyone knew how to read. So if you did know how to read, you actually read out loud. This point in time, now we don't do that. We always read privately. But at that point in time, they read out loud. So Philip gets close to the chariot. He starts hearing that this guy is actually reading the book of Isaiah. And I think it's cool because he is really able to kind of get a glimpse into where this Ethiopian is. He gets a glimpse that he's reading the book of Isaiah. And here's what I want to tell you this. When the Holy Spirit speaks, we always kind of wonder, like, okay, how exactly, what does it look like when the Holy Spirit speaks? I'm going to just give you a little bit of a definition. It should be up on the screen, and it's this. A strong impression on the mind, which is backed up by biblical truth, which leaves one with no doubt it is God speaking. So the Spirit speaking to us is a strong impression on the mind, which lines up with biblical truth, leaving one with no doubt it is God speaking. That's how the Holy Spirit prompts you. God tells you, go sit at that lunch table. You're like, that I don't know that person. Why would I go do that? Go talk to this person. I'm not sure. They're just kind of an acquaintance. I don't really know them. Invite them to come to this thing. Lord, I just barely know them. They're going to think this is weird. But it's a strong impression on the mind that lines up with biblical truth, that leaves you with no doubt that it's God speaking. So Philip had this. Philip, there was no doubt in his mind. This is the Spirit speaking. So we see in verse 30, this is what Philip did. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked him, do you understand what you are reading? Philip is like, I guess he's so convinced it's the Spirit. He's like, I'm not just going to walk up to this chariot. I'm going to run up to this chariot. Which is interesting because culturally, that was really weird. Men did not run in that culture. That is not what you did. So it's interesting that Philip bolts over there. He's like, all right, man, this is the Spirit speaking. I'm going to go. This kind of reminds me of myself sometimes when we're like out doing street witnessing and God tells me, I get real excited and I just make a beeline for people. And I'm sure people are like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? This is really awkward. I just need to be more chill when I go do that. But I think in the same way, I wonder what the Ethiopian was thinking when he sees this guy, Philip, running up to him. But Philip's convinced and he's like, okay, the Spirit spoke. He told me to go south. I went south thinking, who's in the desert? Here's this Ethiopian in his chariot with a bunch of other people around him. All right, now you're telling me, God, go near to that chariot. I'm going to keep listening. You're leading me. I'm starting to see it, Lord. I'm seeing your plan. So when Philip gets close, he realizes this guy is reading the book of Isaiah. And I have to think, man, this hit Philip. I think he has to go, okay, God, like, I get it now. You led me here for a purpose. This guy needs to hear the gospel. I may have left Samaria where you were working, and I don't fully understand why you told me to leave, but I'm going to go down. And now, not only am I going to be able to share the gospel with him, I'm sharing it with a guy that is a high official in the government and is able to have influence over a lot of people. God was speaking to him in a really divine and specific way, and Philip is following it. And so Philip asks him this question. He says, it's kind of cool. He says, do you understand what you are reading? And it's cool because this question allows the Ethiopian to really kind of disclose where he's at spiritually and allow Philip to get a glimpse into his life. And this guy's honest. He goes, I don't understand this. Like, I don't fully get it. You know what? And I would love for you to explain to me. Philip can see that, man, this guy is hungry for spiritual truth. I think as Christians, we should be some of the great question askers that there ever was. When we meet people, when we meet our friends, we should be some of the great question askers. Ask them, what's going on in life? You know, dig deeper than the normal. Not all the time, but a question of people do want to talk about spiritual things. They do want to talk about some of the things that hurt in life, purpose and meaning. I think that's what Philip does. He goes, do you understand what you're reading? He got a glimpse over and he kind of said, well, this is interesting. Why are you out here in the desert with your chariot? But instead he goes right to him and he says, you know, what is it that you're reading? Do you understand it? So then in verse 31, the Ethiopian says to him, how can I understand it unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So I think this is where it all kind of begins to come together. God's, the angel prompts Philip, go south. Philip says, I'll do it. Then the Holy Spirit comes in and says to him, go near to that chariot. He starts talking to the Ethiopian. So the Ethiopian, this guy is a convert to Judaism, as I told you before. So he already believes that kind of there's a one true God, but he doesn't know about Jesus Christ. You know, he's made this pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship there, which is the center of Judaism, but he still doesn't fully understand the faith. He doesn't get it because he doesn't know about Jesus. So God's divine plan has come together, and Philip simply, without hesitation, obeyed God, and God is using it to work in this Ethiopian's life. So he invites him up. He invites him into his chariot. He says, come on, explain this to me. I think the Ethiopian probably didn't know that he needed someone to explain it to him, but he needed someone to explain it to him. think that's where a lot of y'all's friends are. I think that's where a lot of my friends are. They might not know that they need someone to explain to them why we are on this earth, what we're here for, that God wants a relationship for us, with us. But they need to know that. They want to know that, to know that truth. And that's why God has put you in their life for divine moments that he has for you to work in. So the other thing to think about is that there was probably a lot of people that were around the eunuch right now that were hearing these things. Because he was a high government official, he wouldn't have traveled alone. He would have had people that were taking the horses for the chariot that were all around him. So there's a bunch of people that are seeing all this happening and are being influenced by it. But there's so many people around you who are seeking purpose in life, that are seeking the meaning to life, but they never show it, but need you to tell them. And when they realize you have the answer, they want it from you. Is there going to be some people that are going to be like, no, I don't want anything to do with that? But I think there's going to be a lot of people, and I'm always really surprised how many people are like, you know, I really appreciate you telling me about your faith and talking to me about it and doing that. Most people do not talk about their spiritual lives, even though they want to. Most people want to hear truth and want to know how people are making sense of life. People want to know that. People want to know, how do you make sense of life? How do you make sense of things that happen that are hard? They want to know that. So God has divine moments all around you. At times, though, God, just like Philip, is leading you step by step where he wants to go. If God told you some of the things that he wants you to do straight up, you would be like, no way, not going there, too hard, not going to do that. Think if Philip was like, he was like, Philip, I'm going to lead you to this Ethiopian guy who's reading Isaiah in the middle of the desert, just go. Philip would be like, that's way too specific, I'm not sure I can do that. But he said, go south, go near to that chariot, here's the guy reading Isaiah, gets into his life. And then we read this in verses 32 through 34. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? So this is interesting. Of all the verses that the Ethiopian could have been reading, he's reading a verse that is talking about Jesus. It's a prophetic verses in Isaiah, which means it was telling about, well, prophecy, and it came true about Jesus. And this is from the book of Isaiah. Have you ever had those times in life where God just allowed a conversation perfectly to happen? You know, someone tells you about something that's going on in their life. Someone asked you a question about your spiritual beliefs. I think that was what it was like for Philip. All of a sudden, it's all coming together, and he's like, God, you have this guy reading this verse right here that would lead so perfectly into the gospel. A couple months ago, I guess it was probably like 4 or 5 months ago at this point, our neighbor above us, who is a Muslim, he invited Wendy and I to go to the opening of the Adam Center. If you don't know what the Adam Center is, it's a Islamic center, kind of like all kinds of different stuff. They have classes there and different stuff, and he personally invited me. Like, it wasn't just a flyer he left on my door. It's like, hey, would you guys want to come? They're opening it up. It's a big thing. And so because of the personal invite, we were like, yeah, you know, we want to go. We want to build a relationship there with our neighbors. So we decided to go. Most times I would have been like, why would I go to anything of Islam? Like, that's not what I believe. But God said go, so we went. And it was cool. Like, we learned something about the Islamic faith and saw him there. And then that was it. And we continued a relationship. Well, then when we were in Austin, Texas, we had to, for the Lead the College trip, we had to write letters to someone that we wanted to share the gospel with. And so I was like, okay, praying, like, Lord, who do you want me to write to? And he was like, write it to this guy's name, Masood. Write it to him. I was like, okay, Lord, what do I say? Do I just lay the gospel out? You know, what exactly do I do? And so I was thinking through that. I think through the Spirit, what God told me to write was, you know, it was really cool going to the Adam Center and learning about the Islamic faith. I learned a lot. You know what? I would love to tell you about my faith and what I believe. And so I was just like, and actually, I'm just going to tell you right now. So I was able to just lay the whole gospel out in that letter. And so I saw him about a month ago, and I was like, hey, did you get my letter? And he was like, yeah. And he's like, and actually, I kind of want to talk about it. So pray for me. Hopefully, we're going to talk about it. But I tell you that story to say that God is consistently setting up circumstances as we follow him to tell others about him. God is consistently setting up circumstances in your life. And you may not see them, but I pray today, have you heard the story of Philip? You start to go, God, how are you working in my life? Who do you want me to talk to? How are you setting these situations up? God, where are you working? And then in verse 35, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So Philip sees this as the most awesome opportunity and says, I'm sure he said to the eunuch, yeah, he's actually not talking about himself. Isaiah wasn't talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus, that Jesus came, died for us, died for our sins. He walks him through scripture. I thought it was really cool this year as just using a lot of examples from our Lead the Cause trip because it's fresh for me. But we used this thing called Share Jesus Without Fear. And it's just a really simple method of just asking questions. But part of that is if someone says to you, you know, I would like to know what the Bible says about Jesus or about different things. And we actually were able to walk people through verses of scripture. And it was really cool to see how I could have shared knowledge that I had about scripture. I could have shared things that I heard on the Sunday morning from Pastor Mike. Those would have been good. But we actually physically took them to the Bible and had them open the Bible and read it. And when you see people read God's word and read the truth there, that is what changes people. And I think that's what changed the Ethiopian. When he saw what scripture was about, when Philip explained it to him, it changed him. And in the same way, the people in your life, they need to see the proof of God's word and what it says to them. Here's what Romans 10:17 says. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So ultimately, they got to hear the message. They got to hear the word of Christ. They need to hear God's truth in their lives. So just simple things, you're like, yeah, you know what? I'd love to show you what the Bible says about this. You might think it's awkward, but I promise you, your friends will actually respect you if you're willing to tell them about your beliefs. And God will use that. As we share the word of God, the Spirit takes that truth and reveals it to the listener, reveals it to your friends, the person you're talking to. Because here's the thing, the eunuch, he would have most likely had been reading the previous verses in Isaiah. And what those verses said, we're talking about how Jesus was going to go to the cross as a sheep and he was going to be bruised for us. So he was already reading that. God was already working his heart. And then Philip comes in and explains the truth. Because here's the thing, God desires us to know him more through his word. And as we know him more, as we read God's word, as we make it a daily part of our lives, it begins working in us. And because of that, we begin wanting to tell other people about God. And God begins setting up these divine moments in our lives. Here's what 1 Peter 1:23 through 25 says. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word that was preached to you. Peter is saying here, ultimately, it is God's word that endures. And when your friends, when those around you, when God uses you in divine moments to know him, that is what will change them. So things like building houses, going to soup kitchens to feed people, clothing drives, they're all awesome. They're all awesome ways of serving people. But the hope is that all of those things are ultimately pathways to share the gospel. So then in verses 36, starting, it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So it's interesting because Philip must have, as he walked through the scriptures, ultimately said, you know what? The next thing you can do is if you really believe in Jesus, like, hey, it's time to be baptized. And we see that this Ethiopian is like, he's changed. Like Christ came into him, he's got a changed life. He must have saw, I don't know, they're in the desert and he must have saw some little thing of water and he said, let's do it right here. I want to get baptized. You know what's so cool about this? All the people that were around him, that were part of his entourage traveling with him, they all saw him get baptized. And he was saying to them, I'm identified with Christ. I am identifying with Christ in my life, making that public declaration. He's ready to take action. It's interesting. There'll be times, Wendy and I were actually talking about this. I was asking her if she's ever had any of these divine moments in her life. And she was telling me about one time when she was, She was going to buy something off Craigslist, and she had prayed earlier in the day, like, Lord, will you just give me like an opportunity to talk to someone about the gospel? And so she goes over to buy this bed that we were getting when we first moved here. And this woman, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but basically this woman started just talking to her about faith, and Wendy was able to have a conversation about the gospel and encourage her. And then Wendy tried to follow up with her afterwards, but the woman never followed up. But you know, the truth is to share the gospel with someone doesn't mean that we got to get them in a discipleship program first. They got to understand the five spiritual laws. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means ultimately God has called us to go right here, right now. Will you share the gospel with them? And God, I'll trust you with the rest. Do we want them to continue on and find a church and get plugged into all those things? Yeah, we do. But ultimately, when God sets up divine moments, he says, I want you to share right now the simple truth of the gospel from my word. And that's what Philip did. And the Ethiopian was changed. And he's like, I want to identify with Christ. Let's do it right now. Let me get baptized. And then the last couple of verses, verse 39 and 40. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. And then Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. God used Philip in his design wisdom, and then after that he says he takes him away. And it's interesting because I think it shows us in some of the divine moments in our lives, God uses us to share the gospel with someone, and then he moves us on. And then at other times in our lives, he goes, I put you with that friend in that class for this whole year because I want you to love him. I want you to know, want them to know the truth of the gospel, and I want to use you to do it. But another time he says, share it, do it. You're on the metro, you're going down to D.C., share the gospel. You know, you're walking along, you're at Reston Town Center, you're just beginning a conversation with them, share the gospel, do it. Let God use you there. But it's cool because God uses all things. One commentary I read said this, the first great church was not in Europe. It was not in America or Asia Minor or Jerusalem, but it was in northern Africa. And that was because history believes that the eunuch was clearly changed by the word of God and by the Spirit. And he went back to his native land and spread the word. And that's where one of the first major churches began. And this, that was all because Philip said, okay, God, I hear you. I'll go south. Okay, God, I hear you. I'll go next to this chariot and go near it. All right, Lord, I'll explain the gospel to him. All these different promptings that God led him on. That's how God works. Each step of faith, he moves us, and we go, and we obey, and we do it. So here I'll close like this. I want to give you some lessons from the eunuch. Put yourself in the shoes of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was waiting for someone to tell him. He was waiting. He wanted to hear it. He needed someone who knew the truth to explain it to him, just like we needed someone to explain God's truth to us. And now God wants to use us to explain his truth to others. And just know this, the Holy Spirit, even though we can't always see it, is working in the lives of those around us and wants to use us in divine moments to be a part of God's grand story. So how does it work? I'm going to go back to this. It's really simple and yet profound. God speaks to us and we listen. God talks to people. We obey and talk to the people that God spoke to. And God moves in people's lives. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this story of Philip. And Lord, I pray that the simple truths of this, God, that we can just walk in our lives with you and hear you speak to us and obey and see you move in the people's lives around us. So God, I pray that we would take this scripture and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.